за Людмилу подавали. Jaz bi povabila, aha, ti špiješ. Jaz bi povabila Jeruna, Una in pa, in pa Martina, da se pridržajo. Ja, I would like to invite Martina, Luna, Una to join. And of course, you are all welcome to the question whether you understand or if you feel necessary, definitely.
Can I? Thank you. Can I start with an observation? I was thinking what you were saying early on in your lecture that, you know, why is it that once we're trying to define dramaturgical work as something dispersed, and at the same time we define choreography as something fixed and easy and simple, and, you know, the same goes for light design or whatever. But I think, I mean, in a way, all of these practices, once you take them as a point of view from which you look outside, they always, in order to set up any argument, they always try to find to perceive every other practice as fixed, whereas they are speculative in what they're trying to do. So if you go to a conference which talks about choreography, it will definitely talk about light design as something fixed, dramaturgy is something which more or less people know what it's like, but choreography is something which we need to invent and reinvent and rethink, and, you know, so it's almost like an argumentational trap or an argumentational trick, you know, in order to prove your own, you know, dispersiveness or, you know, flexibility, you know, you fix everybody else in their own position. And I mean, you know, I found your talk really interesting, you know, but I'm kind of trying to fight with myself and the way that I define things against this kind of, you know, okay, well, my practice is really dispersed, whereas everybody else is doing exactly the same thing all the time. Because, like, light designers, for instance, and that would be probably the most kind of, yeah, fixed practice, you know, they would, I mean, new light design strategies, you know, go more towards, you know, whatever, conceptual light design, I mean, just like everybody else, and then they go, no, light design is not just about designing light, you know, we don't want to be restrained and restricted to just sort of, you know, setting up, you know, when this light goes a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, you know, we're dealing with the space and the architecture of the space and, you know, blah, 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 and the strategy of thinking about visibility and, you know, all of these things. So I was just, and that's the, you know, in a way, that's why I find speculative talk very, very interesting, much more interesting than non-speculative talks. But then these are the traps that you fall into because you kind of, yeah, sorry if that was in any way.
No, I think you are completely right. I think I even called for this kind of dispersion or deauthorization in terms of authority of positions as the only possible way to talk about, let's say, collaboration in a way, where the field of operation is not fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you also mentioned that you see choreography as the same dispersed operation of field as dramaturgy, for example. For me, the three examples in the end were really, really interesting because I was thinking when you were giving the lecture, I was thinking this sounds so logical with the arch, with the holes, and these are the places of invitation. It sounds so nice somehow, but I didn't know what you mean with that, and I thought that's not clear for me what this arch with the holes is. So I found it really interesting to hear the three concrete examples that you gave, because now I have an impression of what you understand as the holes. What is still not clear for me is why you think that these holes are still placed in that arch. So why this, like, classical structure of the drama you still see as...
No.
It's that one, but it's not continuous, but it has these holes inside, which are in the time or in the space. So.
Yeah, thank you for this, because that's not true. I just state because of graphical image so that I don't complicate more. But this the shape of this dramaturgical work I think it's much more complex and not so linear or arch shape as it is. Yeah. As it is in tradition. Mm-hmm. Even of course in traditional you have some varieties.
Yeah.
But if this is just like schematic demonstration.
Yeah, I would like to talk a bit about the third one, the Garden of Concepts, because we spoke about the Garden of Concept, the Garden of Risk, and to keep the work open. So I wonder how you connect concept to risk and its openness, because they denote different aspects. And are these also three dispersed notions then? Or is the guardian the dramaturg in this case, or is it everyone again?
Yeah, well, I think let's not talk as of a person at the moment. Let's talk about dramaturgical work. For me, it's always interesting why in the process, in technology of work, comes this moment that things suddenly get completely another dimension, and I understand it not so much in conceptual and philosophical terms, but much more in sociological and psychological terms. You have pressure; you have to come out with this. Mm-hmm. The best examples are so-called laboratories and workshops where you don't need to present. Yeah. It's okay if you do like a performance and there is a premiere and so on, but you have many of these workshops and laboratories where you don't need to present. And yet, every workshop somehow ends with presentation, and suddenly there is a kind of totally irrelevant and irrational pressure which is counterproductive. Yeah. But this deals with the kind of system in which we live and operate, which is system of visibility, and which is system of visible products, etc., etc. Now, to talk about guar, and I think in many cases this is working against the idea of the work itself. Yeah. Again, I think we can speculate a lot, and I hear many voices giving examples that can prove that it's not like this. But I'm talking more in schematic terms, also through the privilege of work which I have, that I do coaching, which I really enjoy doing it. When you have access to the work in the middle of it, and I think we would have completely different notion of what performance could be, yeah, if we would go and see rehearsals in the middle of the work. Of course, this would completely change again, you know, the perspective. But yeah, there is something which stays forever invisible, and in that sense, I see dramaturgical work as a kind of affirmation. Guardian is maybe too strong word for this, and of course to insist on the concept, on the idea, on the work as it was meant to be becomes probably the biggest risk today, because you don't go for safe solutions, but somehow you go for things you know that will work. And again, there are many examples which say opposite. Yeah. I'm totally aware of this, but you can also accept this as I'm talking only for myself. Yeah, so it's not a big deal. But somehow I see this, that it's that the many like interesting working processes and ideas shrink down and narrow down when there comes a moment making the production.
On the other hand, it would be possible to say also now that it's a certain risk to risk to go away from the concept during the process, because the process gets it follows an own dynamic which was maybe not programmed in the beginning of the process, but which shows by the process itself that it goes to another direction than the idea in the beginning was. And also that is a certain risk, I think, to allow not to say no, but the idea was we do this, so let's really try to stay in this frame of thinking, but to have the flexibility to say the real conditions or the real constellation of people and so on lead to a process which goes to another direction than it was planned in the beginning, but which can be maybe lead to something what is as interesting as the concept on paper was in the beginning.
Yeah, well, this is an old question, I would say. Again, I would take example of Via Negativa, which, you know, they set a program for a decade or 7-8 years, and they didn't move one millimeter from that. And yet, I think they somehow managed to go over this risk of being predictable, and so on and so on, you know. But I know what you are talking about here. I think, to start to speak more concrete and not on the speculative level, would be interesting what kind of conditions the work itself creates for itself for something like this to happen. So to happen a deviation, which is actually kind of, let's say, logical result, because conditions for the work were created that the work can deviate. Yeah. Or is this kind of anomaly, you know, in the working process? Yeah. This I think can be interesting. Then, what are the conditions we create? What can happen based on the conditions we have in conceptual terms and in dramaturgical terms and so on?
Now from the audience, we can start. Maybe it's a big, not gap, but some jump now into one question, more concrete, maybe personal for you, Janez. I would like to ask you, maybe you want to answer me, what is your drive in the works from past, like to work with that works, like Propylia, for example, or Spomenik?
Monument
G. Do you find it already there? They are not contemporary, like from now, or some interesting holes you can go into here.
This has to do with another concept which I'm trying somehow to develop in the work, and I would also find it very interesting in dramaturgy, and that's the concept which I call working with. Yeah. So both of the performances which you mentioned, I approach them as totally unproblematic. Yeah. As a certain body of or as a certain material. Yeah, in terms we discussed yesterday, and then I was working with it, but not in terms of how can I say to work with elements of it, but to work with this as a kind of a complex machinery which consists of signs of time in terms of how did people think at that time, how did people think about theater, how they think about performance, how they were thinking about presenting themselves, what kind of relation did they have in in the when they were creating the work. What kind of mentality was installed there that this kind of work could happen? Was it just a result of a pure instinct, or there was a kind of hidden methodology and a hidden system behind it, and so on? So it was much more working with something which they don't know they produced than with something which they produced. I don't know, in case, I think this is in both performances, this dramaturgical work, there is some dramaturgical work the spectator does, yeah, and mainly this is a relation. In Pupilia, you have kind of, as Lukan said, three shows in one show. So you have original one, which you can see on the screen. You have the copy, yeah, with the performers on stage, and then you have a relation of the two. And and this in Monument G2, this was, I think, even more directly staged, where you had the one from the performer from the original show, two performers from the original show, and two performers who were born after the show has been done. Yeah, and and you somehow constantly look at the differences between the two. They are trying to do the same, but they never do the same. If you look closely, they never do things the same, and yet they are doing one and the same thing. And it is not staging actually difference, but it is staging tension between original lost and the two relations towards something which is lost. And here again, I see, I don't say this one is closer or this is the original, but this work of dramaturgical work somehow consists of this. What kind of relation it is? What do we get out of this? Yeah. And so on.
So do you do this dramaturgical work yourself in this your performances, or you have some people?
I have to correct myself. In Monument G2, there was Samo Gosarić. He was the dramaturg of the show. So, but on the very pragmatic level, I like a lot to work with Samo because we have dialogue. Yeah. And he's, it was sometimes, there is nobody from the cast, but this was very interesting. It was very interesting in Pupilia, for example, he would many times jump on stage and replace missing performers because the cast was big and nearly every day someone was missing. And then he knew everything and he was...
It doesn't
matter, but this is a kind of a dramaturgical so when I work with dramaturg, which I did, I do, I think, but I think for me dramaturgical work inside the team consists very much in dialogue. Yeah, I spend a lot of time in dialogue with performers and other collaborators. And also, for me, the most dramaturgical work is done actually when you do collaboration. And I did a lot of collaborative work in performance and in visual arts. And I call collaborative work when you have shared responsibility for the work in whole. Yeah. So I did collaborative work with Collective, the piece which we signed with seven people, and with Erna Omarsdottir, and with Mare Bulc, and with two Janšas, and with Dušan Jovanović. So I did actually a lot collaboration with a shared responsibility of different scale, the whole team or directors, or yeah.
And
then
you share decisions before you say this is.
No, decision we take together.
Together, yeah.
It's that's for me, like criteria for the work to be called collaborative, that people who are involved take decision together. Because there is everything. For example, this I wanted to react to your when you've been talking about solo, and I think solo is collaborative work, because you have to collaborate with yourself, and that's the most difficult. It's much easier to collaborate with someone else than with yourself.
Believe in term or the possibility of innovation. What is that? Is that possible to working with, like you work, or at all, or do you find it quite romantic term in this, from classical to wholesome?
Well, I said what is the difference between traditional and contemporary art. Traditional art looks for kind of eternal truth, and it's somehow obsessed with eternity. Contemporary art knows that there is no eternity, yeah, and that it works in a way with mortality, yeah. And if you work with mortality, yeah, it's for example like in the last piece. So to skip from Via Negativa to some other local examples, yeah. For example, in this last piece, Pet Fanco Picasso, yeah, the display by Semenich and directed by Jure Novak, the performers, they come on stage and say, I will perform, I don't know, this guy, and I will perform this character, and so on. And this is not a single example where people in the beginning say, you know, the basic information. And this liberates spectator from speculating and finding out who actually are those people and what do they do. I come on stage, I perform this, my name is that and that, and that's it. And then actually the performance becomes performance, then performance becomes a reality in itself. A reality which does not need to connect with outside reality. And yet, just because it is reality in itself, this enables a performance to be connected with outside world. So less connection with outside world needed for perception of the performance, more embedment of a performance in a wider reality. And of course that means that you deal with the moment, yeah, and then you are not busy with these big and eternal truths. In that sense, if you understand time and art in that sense, then the question of innovation becomes irrelevant.
But the frame of the theatre always produces you your doubt in terms of what they will say, whether they will do what they will say that they will do. I mean, that doesn't change, even if you know, you announce in advance, okay. I mean, when you were mentioning, for instance, Jérôme Bell, and then you mentioned this, you know, singing, and then you know that the performance will last as long as the singing lasts. I mean, you only know that in the end, you know, retrospectively, when you think about the performance. Or when you've got, you know, this Frédéric Seguet, you know, everybody, you know, two naked people come in, and then they write their names, and then they write their bank account status, and, you know, the date they lost their virginity. I mean, you don't really know that that's the date they lost virginity, do they? You only know that it's a date, you know. And then later on, you know, you take Le Pecky and you kind of go, all right, okay, that's, you know, that's what it was.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, okay, I know what you are talking about. It's really a big issue, how to believe that it's true, yeah. Mm. It doesn't really matter. What creates this intervention is exactly that it separates performance from outside reality. And that doesn't mean that it becomes less theatrical. On the contrary, it maybe becomes even more. But you don't need, you know, you don't need anything else. Everything is there. And I think, again, sorry to bring you again and again, Via Negativa is a really excellent example in this direction. And sometimes this is very difficult to watch, to deal with.
Some other questions?
Some more questions.
Thank you very much for this discussion, and we will continue as it is with the performance.
Yeah, the performance is at 6 o'clock.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. So.